Somebody left me a cup of water up here. Guess I must have told them about my throat getting dry a few times. If I can do something about my weak knees now, I'll be in good shape. Thank you, Marlon. Found out who did that. Appreciate it. You know, talking about the graduation and the gifts reminded me that I still have more than one of my graduation gifts. One Claire just started reading recently. It's called I Dare You. And the other that I still have that I remember, may have more, but it was a shaving bag that this girl who lived down the street, her parents gave me that shaving bag, and I still have it. It's not my shaving bag anymore. It's my shoe shine pack. But I've still got it. And every once in a while, when I break that thing out, I remember them. And didn't know them well, but they probably knew I was a poor kid that needed the help, so they gave me a gift. And they never know how meaningful it was to me and how long it has been meaningful to me, and I remember them for it. You know, as we read that scripture, it almost sounds like Paul got a split personality, doesn't it? You got two different people living within him. Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention that Earl baptized his dad this morning over in Pineville, so we're so very thankful for that. And great to hear that. But sometimes we think about split personalities, personality test, if you've ever taken, how many of you have taken a personality test before? A lot of them will have four questions on it, and you got to decide which one describes you best. And Claire has a problem with that because she has a problem deciding A, B, C, or D. She says, some of all these sound like me. I said, Claire, you got to pick the one that's most like you. Well, I can't decide. And I forget how she described it once, but she had a cute way of describing one that we were taking that had four different personalities, and she explained how she was all four of those together. But so Claire doesn't have a split personality, she has a quadruple personality. But we all have varying personality traits of various kinds, and we're going to look at five different people who live within us. And I suspect that we'll see each one of these in us to some varying degree. Some of them be strong in us, some will be very weak in us, but we probably can see how each one of these is living within us to some extent in our life. This is another one of those things that I saw in a magazine somewhere, and I thought, that looks like that'd make a good sermon, find some scriptures to go along with it, and so that's what this is. The first one is, the person I want you to think I am. I want you to think of me in a certain way. Now, various people may want people to see them in various ways. You know, some person may want you to see them as a very strong person. Others may want you to see them as weak, or some may want you to see them as rich, and others may want you to see them as poor. And so, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why we might want someone else to think that I'm a certain way. And so the person I want you to think I am, there are things that we don't want others to know about us. Not necessarily things that they need to know. And so, you know, Mel has said up here a couple times, I heard him say in class that, you know, I'm not going to tell you about some of the things I did when I was young. And there are things that probably each one of us, we've got things in our lives we don't want others to know. And it's not necessarily something they need to know. Nothing necessarily deceptive about this. It's just that, you know, I don't want to cloud your view of me today by something I did yesterday or in the past. And so I want you to think of me in a certain way. Sometimes we call that a facade that we put on. Sometimes it's hypocritical, where we portray ourselves as one way and yet we're totally opposite at other times. Sometimes we refer to it as masks that we put on to disguise what we really look like underneath. the false impression sometimes that we give maybe what we're doing. We're giving out a false impression. There's the pretense involved. To some extent, there's deception involved, where you're not letting the person see the real you. But again, it may not necessarily be something that should matter to them, because we've changed from what we were. And so sometimes that's all it is. These things in my past that I've overcome, and I don't want you to know about those because it might make you think less of me today. And I want you to see me the way I am today. And so there are all sorts of stories written about someone had a bad past and they've hidden it, and then all of a sudden it comes back on them to haunt them. And so movies and TV shows and all sorts of things that have that sort of thing. And that's partly what we're talking about. But not only do we deceive others, we sometimes deceive ourselves in that process. It's hard to stop playing the game of make-believe once you begin. And so we're going to look at a couple of aspects of this. And one is the hypocrite. And of course, a hypocrite is someone who's doing something wrong, but don't want you to know they're doing something wrong. They say one thing, but they're doing something totally opposite. Mark 7:6-15. He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. It is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" And he goes on to talk about that. So that's the hypocrite, the one that honors God with his lips, but they're not living it. Their heart's far from being obedient to God. And so that kind of disguising who we are, that hypocritical part of that, would be something that would be sinful. Not all of things that we might hide from other people would be sinful. Like I said, it may be things that we did in the past that we're ashamed of now, and we don't want anybody else to know about it because it might cloud their view of us right now. There's also the aspect of pleasing man or God. In Galatians 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." And so we need to be sure that we're trying to please God in whatever we're doing, and not allowing this false impression or false front that we put on to be anything that would be contrary to our pleasing God. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4-6, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." So we need to be sure that whatever we're doing, we're pleasing God. And what we're hiding from others may not be anything. It may be things that we've confessed to God a long time ago. And we're over that, and it's okay with God. We don't have to tell everybody all of our dark secrets and everything to be pleasing to him. But it may be that we're putting on that false front and we're being a hypocrite. And we're presenting one side to man, and yet God sees something totally different in our lives. So that's the person I want you to think I am. And now the next one is, living within us, the person you think I am. And that may be totally different from what I want you to think I am. You may see something totally different. We see this in many times, the braggart. The person's always bragging on themselves. You know, most people see those as people who have a low self-esteem. And usually people that are braggarts have low self-esteem. They don't feel very good about themselves. So they're always trying to build themselves up in the sight of other people. And they don't realize that other people see them in a totally different way than they see themselves. Here lies my blind spots, good or bad. We may have blind spots. People may see me as one way, and I may see myself as bad, and they see myself as good. Or they may see myself, I may see myself as good, and they bad, and vice versa, that it can go either way. We have blind spots. The person that sees us may be different the way we see ourselves. So the person you think I am is different. I can't see them, but you can. I can't see those things that are wrong with me or right with me, but you can. We all have these areas. You see problems in me that I don't see. Matthew 7:3-5. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So here's someone that's looking at someone else and, oh, you horrible person. You just got such terrible sin in your life. And it's a little speck they're looking at. And a big beam is sticking out of their eye. They can't see that. They don't see themselves as others see them. And as God sees them sometimes. You may see potential in me that I don't see. 1 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. So Paul wanted to send Timothy so he could build them up in their faith, to help them see the potential that they have. And so sometimes the person that you think I am or I think you are may not be the person that's really there. And we may, in different ways, I may see a potential in you that you don't realize you've got. And so I need to bring that out in you and help you to see your potential. But then on the other hand, sometimes we don't see the sin in ourselves that others see. And they may need to confront us with that sin to help us to see ourselves more clearly. So that person is within us that others think of me as, and it may be different from my own views myself. And then the person I think I am, what I see myself as, this is the person I think I know and see. I think I know, but we may deceive ourselves. But it's the person I think I am. You know, we probably usually think, well, I'm a pretty good person. Especially as Christians, you know, we feel like the good outweighs the bad, so we're a pretty good person. But that's not the way God looks at it, of course. So we may tend to think of ourselves differently. But that person within me that thinks they know who they are, you can know this person only to the degree that I am open, honest, and genuine, and transparent. Only to the extent that I share with you what I think I am. And again, it may be good or bad. We may think too highly of ourselves. We may think too lowly of ourselves. And that's really what Paul is talking about when he talks about the body parts. And the eye can't say the hand, I have no need of you. That's where one is saying to the other, I'm better than you are. And the ear can't say to the eye, because I'm not an eye, I'm no value to the body. That's the one who says, I'm down here and you're up here. And so we may think of ourselves more lowly or more highly than we ought to think. This person may be deceived. I may be deceived into thinking I'm someone good when I'm really not. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So sometimes we don't even understand our own hearts. And we've deceived ourselves in thinking we're better or worse than in reality we are. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we say we don't have any sin, we're deceiving ourselves. So if I think, oh, God's so lucky to have me, like that Pharisee who was praying, God, I'm thankful I'm not like that tax collector over there. You're so lucky to have me. and he doesn't see his own sin. He's deceived himself into thinking he's better than he really is. And the opposite is said could be true. We may deceive ourselves into thinking we're less important than we really are, or less righteous than we really are. We may think that we're not under God's grace when in reality we are. 1 John 3, verses 19 through 22. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If our heart condemns us, in other words, we think in our heart that God's not pleased with us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So it's possible for you to think I'm lost because I've done terrible things in my life. No way God could forgive me for that. God is greater than our heart. If we repented of those things, and we may not realize God's forgiveness of it, but he has if we've repented. But we might be hanging on to that and just thinking we're just not worthy of salvation. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so it's possible for someone to believe that they're lost when in reality they're saved. And that's the person I think I am. I may think I'm right when I'm wrong, or I may think I'm wrong when I'm right. The heart is deceptive to us. We may think that we're saved when we're lost. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So here's some people that thought they were doing the will of God. Lord, didn't we do all of these things in your name? They thought they were saved. But he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And so the person I think I am may not be the person that I really am. I may have deceived myself into thinking that. So there's that person within us that we think we are this type person, one way or another. Then number four is the person only God knows. This is the part that's hidden deep within me. And we've alluded to some of that in these things we've talked about, if our heart condemns us, that sort of thing. But it contains the concealed secrets of my subconscious mind, things that I'm not even aware of, that are still there. And God knows, even though I don't. Only the Spirit of God knows this part of my life. Jeremiah the prophet realized this when he wrote, that's not the right one, but 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 13 says, for what man knows the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so, God is the only one that knows some of the things in our lives. We've forgotten them. Other people have forgotten them. God's the only one that knows. We've suppressed it, perhaps, because it was embarrassing to us, or we hated the fact that we ever did those things, so we've suppressed it. We don't know it. That's the reason we used to pray a lot for our secret sins. In other words, the sins we didn't realize we had committed, or those that we've hidden away and that we didn't want anybody else to know about. We may think that we're not under God's grace when we are, as I mentioned earlier. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And so God knows everything. And there's that part of us that we may not even realize, and no one else realizes, but God knows. God knows our heart. And that's what's important to him, as we looked at this morning. That's the important thing to God, is the heart. And that's more important than anything else. And then the person that I want to become, this is the last one and perhaps the most important one that needs to take precedence over all the others. As a Christian, this is the person I am becoming by the grace of God. This represents my hopes, my desires, my goals, my ambitions, the things I want to be as a Christian. Who is it that I want to become in the Christian life that I'm now walking in? What do I want to be? What do I want to accomplish? If I were guaranteed 100% success at doing something in the next 3 years, what would I do? If I wanted to be a better Christian in the sight of God, what would I do in the next 3 years if I knew I would not fail? Or in the next hour or 2 hours or however amount of time you want to put it on there. But the fact is that that's the person I want to become. There are things that we want to be able to accomplish in this life. The Apostle Paul understood this aspect of spiritual growth when he wrote in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so Paul said, I'm not living anymore in this body. Christ is living in me. That's what I want to become, he says. I want Christ to be living in me. And that should be each one of our desires. We should all desire for Christ to be living in us, not living for ourselves. The person I want to become. Jesus died for us, so we would live for him. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And so that's the person I want to become. And that should be taking forefront in all of our lives. That's the person I want to become. And that's the person we need to be feeding. Ephesians 4:22-24, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on your new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we put off in baptism that old man. He died when he was buried in baptism, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. And so we need to put off that old man and put on the new man. And we need to press toward the goal, Philippians 3:10-14, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the person I want to be. Paul said, I want to be like Christ. I'm going to press on toward that goal. I'm going to forget about all those past things. He had a lot to forget, didn't he? Persecuting the church, putting Christians to death. He had a lot to forget. But he said, I forget all of that, and I'm pressing toward the goal for what Christ chose me for, to be living for him. So which of these people inside of you is winning in your life? Stories told of an old Indian who with a younger Indian was watching a couple of dogs fight. And the young man said, which one of these is going to win? And the Indian said, the older Indian said, I know which one's going to win. And the young Indian said, how do you know? He said, it's the one I feed the most. And so that's one's going to win of these five people living within us, the one we feed the most. Which one do we want to feed the most? The person I want you to think I am? Do I need to take off some mask in my life and share a little bit of myself? Sometimes that's helpful to others to see how far we've come. Paul didn't hold back when he said, I persecuted the church. He told them. It was a very humbling and shameful thing that he did, but he confessed it. We may need to take off some masks and let people see who we really are and who we used to be so that they can be encouraged, that they can change in their lives too. The person you think I am, do I need to ask others how they see us, good or bad? Do I ask someone, do you see any potential in me that I'm not seeing? Do you think I can do something that I don't realize I can? Or am I doing some things that I don't realize are bad, that I shouldn't be doing, that you need to share with me? And then the person I think I am I seeing myself realistically? Am I really what I think I am? Or have I deceived myself in my attempt to deceive others also? The person only God knows, do I have secret faults that need corrected? Do I need to pray for those things that maybe I've forgotten that I did? And those secret sins, those secret faults that we may not be aware of? And then the person that I want to become, am I living for Jesus since he died for me? As I started initially with this, I think all of these people probably we can see living within us to some degree or other. Some of them, not much. They're there, but it's not a very significant part of who we are today. And so what we really need to be concerned about is which one are we feeding? Which one is gaining? And hopefully it's that last one, the person I want to become as a Christian, as a child of God. That's the one we're feeding. That's the one we're concentrating on building in our life. So is there any way that we can help you to put that focus in your life? If you're not a Christian, you need to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as your Lord and Master, and be buried with him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. If you as a Christian have not lived as you know you should, you need to repent and confess that, and he will forgive you of all unrighteousness. Is there any way we can help you in your life to be what God wants you to be? We invite you to come as we stand together and sing.